Okay, hi, Paul Sackett, Good News Planet. I'm here with Neil Shapiro. Hi, Neil. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you?
Okay, good. I could not be any happier. I'm here at Channel 13, one of my alma maters, many years ago. And Neil is the CEO and president of the Channel 13, the LIW, New Jersey Public Television. Mm-hmm. You have a beautiful website as well, overseeing three cable channels, right? Mm-hmm. Create,
Kids. World.
And World. Okay, so Neil is... He is the real thing. When you want to look at somebody that's a professional in the world of communications, Neil has been all over in great companies, NBC, ABC. Mm-hmm. How did you get started originally?
I originally wanted to be a newspaper person, and I worked on my college newspaper, and I spent summers working on newspapers. And when I graduated, I sent letters to 300 newspapers around the country asking for jobs. I got 250 forget-it letters. I was close to maybe taking a job at the Washington Star, which went out of business the next year. But for the heck of it, I wrote to the three big networks. And I figured presidents are too busy, I wrote to the vice presidents. The vice president I wrote to at ABC News was looking for a college kid. He was a graduate of Tufts University, as was I. He hired me and I said, I'll hire you for a year. Your job is to make somebody notice you in that year and stay on. And that's what happened.
There it is. My magnet cum laude didn't hurt you either, like over there.
I was lucky.
Well, yeah, you work hard. So it's hard work, right? You know, there's a, they call it show business, but there's a reason there's a word business after the show, right?
No, it's also Yogi Berra said, right, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Okay, there it is. So why is it, I mean, not as easy as people might assume it to be. What do you think it takes, though, to succeed in making a broadcast?
Well, I'll tell you why people think it's easy. If you have any other job, if you're a heart surgeon, at a party someone doesn't say to you, you know, here's how I do that operation. Right? Because most people realize those are technical hard jobs, but anybody can watch TV. It's meant for anybody, and therefore everybody has views about how to do it. In fact, is as you know, it is really hard to do great TV, and a lot of things go into it, and a lot of work. I remember the first story I ever worked on, I was just helping a guy, and it was a three-minute story, and we spent like 4 days on it. I could not believe how much stuff went into it. But if you want to do it well, if you want to get just the right shot, just the right interviews, if you want to write just the right line, it all takes time, and that's what really skilled people do.
And does it start with, like Broadway, does it start with the book, slash the script, the arc, treatment, so on and so forth? It starts with the concept.
It all starts with the idea, you know, and some of the greatest things, whether they're big ideas or small ideas, you have to start with that. But after that, what I love about TV, as opposed to the time I spent in print, when I was in print, it was like me and the typewriter against the clock. That was it. And what makes TV fun is it takes a lot of people. So you can have an idea, and then the person writing it might say, here's an idea, and it gets better. And then someone shooting it says, we could shoot it like this, and it's better. And someone directing it says, it could look like this, and it's better. And someone editing it says, it can look like this, and it's better. And before you know, everybody's made your little idea so much better than the first way you conceived it.
Unless it's live.
That's
if it's
right.
Live, nobody can say hardly anything because you got to get it moving, right?
But boy, if it's live, you need a team.
Right.
You're as strong as your weakest link in a live show.
Yeah. What do you think about live programming nowadays? It seems to be a resurgence of programs that, you know, you see a foible and this and that and a bleep or so on. What do you think about that as an interactive way to watch the medium?
Well, I do think live is on its way back. I think there's so much content now. There's 450 scripted shows. So I think live is coming back as a way to differentiate itself. And sometimes it's great because it's compelling. As we talk, the Olympics are on, and to see something happen there live is great. But I also think live is more challenging because, as you said, you make a mistake and there it is for everybody to see.
Well, Channel 13 and all your ancillary program sources and areas and locations, I believe you're also one of the major producers of content for the PBS and internationally. So what are some of the shows that you're working on or you're happy to announce? I know, I'll just go back to American Masters, which has been on the 30th anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great show. And you have, I think, a few in the can, right, that you're talking about digitally and...
Well, we have two. We have Sidney Lumet, we're very excited about, the great director, and Norman Lear. We're really thrilled about Norman Lear because it's a fabulous production. It won the opening film at the Sundance Film Festival. And Norman has been around promoting the film. And I said, I don't know, is he delighted to do it, but to see this outpouring of goodwill. But what's really exciting to me, and what proves to me why American Masters is such a great show, people come to these screenings who didn't know much about Norman Lear, and they come away having a great appreciation for the huge sweep of television history he was involved with. And that is part of what public media does that I think is so great, is helping people to either remember what their history is about, or to get a new generation excited about it.
Uh-huh. Well, I will throw this in just because it is so. So my first job, the reason why I went into television was Norman Lear. And because I got my master's up in Fairfield, and he was a Hartford guy, mm-hmm. and All in the Family was the show that I said, you know, this gentleman was a bigot, Archie, and you laughed when he cried with him, but you knew he was a bigot, right? And so, actually, it was my first job with CBS, early on in the 70s, in Television City in California. Mm-hmm. I got to work on All in the Family, and I could see between the writers, who were mostly from Brooklyn, I think, that wrote that show, and the John Rich, the director, who hit that mark. Yeah. And no fooling around. Right. It was very serious. And then Norman, who just had the vision of telling a tale and getting the support also, I think is important. He got the support of, I guess, Jim Rosenfeld and the sales team at CBS that had the guts to put a show like that on. What do you think? Because Channel 13 and PBS has the guts to put on shows that are frontline, that are, I'll call them controversial, let's say.
We certainly put on shows that we think are important, even if we know they're not going to get great ratings, or if we fear it, even if we know some people aren't going to like it. Because part of our job is to put on provocative kind of shows. And that's what Norman Lear said about, actually, why he was so delighted to be on PBS, because, uh-huh. frankly, it's harder and harder, even though we live in a universe where there are many channels, for networks to take those kind of chances anymore. They get paid by the eyeball, and that's what they're about, getting audiences together. So stuff which is potentially offensive to an audience is hard for commercial television to find a place for. And I think that's really what PBS is still known for. And stuff on cable can find a place for it if it's on the sexual frontier. And if it's a nudity, well then cable will make room for it. But if it's thought-provoking, that's not necessarily what they're about. I think that is still what public television does better than anybody else.
And you have brought to Channel 13, especially a local presence. You care about the local community. You want to make programming that involves the local community, and you're doing it.
Well, I think all public television stations should do that, but especially here in the biggest market in the country. I think what we try to do is fill in gaps, because even though we have big stations here, I look at local news and say there are a bunch of things that they do well, like car crashes, we're not going to do that. But in terms of the larger forces shaping the tri-state area, that's not what they do. So most of them cover Albany like it's a foreign capital. We cover it all the time. Our goal is to make sure when you ask people who are the 10 most important people in the city, they don't stop at the mayor's name. We try to get other people involved. And we look at issues like education and transportation that don't get a lot of time.
So how can somebody say that has never donated, as someone who's never become a member, how do they, I show all my stuff, okay, Diana Ross concert, that was, I'm wearing, working around all the time with this, so I'm very honored that I got to work here and continue. We have a couple projects that we're in discussions with here, and how does somebody get involved with this station? What do you suggest is the best way?
The good thing is it is now easier than ever to do that. You can go to their website, to 13.org or www.org, and right there you can donate if you want. You can send me ideas. I think this is the most, because of the time we live in, this digital time, it is easier to get involved and easier to get the benefit of what we have. Because once you're a member, you can dig into our library on any device you have, your iPad, your iPhone. So, you know, it's $5 a month, or as little as $5 a month. You get to look at all the great programs, not just the ones that are on now, but the years that go back years and years.
Now, how about let's step it up a little bit from a member to a patron, to a real donor who would love to, you know, support a program and really get a little bit more acclaim for making a program like that happen. Who should he or she speak with?
Well, if somebody wants to make a donation like that, they should get in touch with me, and I promise to put them in the right person. But I will say to people who do that, to people who are our biggest donors, whose names you see on the air, and they all tell me all the time, people stop them and say, thank you very much for making this, here's how you changed my life, or because of you, I decided to give more. So they are truly pioneers. Truly, they've unlocked other people's generosity. And really, in this time, I think there's maybe no much, what a great gift you can give, not just to give you resources, but to give you resources in a way that you know it'll help other people. And that's what Helping 13 does.
Let me add one other way that I let me, yeah. Tell me if it's still so, okay, because I was brought in to help with the Channel 13 Art and Antique Auction, okay, many years ago, and that was like the house show, right. Camera Mart, gigantic facility, ended up moving it over to the Henry Hudson, the original studio, for it. But the volunteers, I'd come from CBS,
yeah.
The volunteers and the volunteers on top of the volunteers. Yeah. Can we still volunteer here in a good way?
You can. We don't do auctions anymore. Those turn out to be, they don't work so much anymore. But we still need volunteers to do lots of other things. And we have a whole staff of volunteers that does various different things for us. And we'd love anyone who'd like to help us out.
Aha. Uh-huh. And your family, you're a family guy, and you're a working bee. You have the movies on Saturday night and the local movies after the Real 13.
Yeah.
You're innovative. You're doing a lot of good stuff here. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I feel honored to have this job.
Good. I'm happy you have it. So, two last quick questions, and thank you very much. It brings us into the studio nature. Yeah, all right. What's good news for you in any aspect of your life?
Oh, I feel so blessed. In terms of my life, I have a wonderful wife. I have three great children. I live in the greatest city in the world. I have the greatest job in the world. I couldn't be any luckier.
Uh-huh. And she's on air, too, Georgette Payne, right?
That's right. She's one of the co-anchors of Nightline.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff. Yeah. Okay. And the last question, because we're very involved with the International Day of Peace, which is September 21st, as declared by the United Nations, 193 countries. So I've asked many, many people, what does peace mean to them? So, Neil, what does peace mean to you?
Peace means growing up in a world where my kids don't have to worry about terrorism happening, a world where we can appreciate the differences between us and realize we're all one party of a larger mankind.
Okay, Neil Shapiro, President, CEO.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.